Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMiami.com and CIUT89.5 FM. With the holidays upon us and with lots of families getting together, it's hard to find movies that interest kids without boring adults. But this week, I'm looking at two new movies from Japan and France that families can actually enjoy together and without any product placement whatsoever. There's a boy in 1940s Japan searching for his mother in another world, and a young swordsman in 1620s France looking for adventure. The Boy and the Heron, written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki. It's 1943 in Japan during World War II. Mahito is a teenage schoolboy who recently moved away from Tokyo with his dad after his mother died into a huge country house where his aunt Natsuko, his mom's younger sister, lives. He is troubled by the fact that his mother has married Natsuko, who looks very much like his mother, and treats her almost as if they're the same person. The house sits near a placid pond by a crumbling stone tower. Aside from his aunt, there is a bevy of old biddies who work on the estate. Mahito feels lost and abandoned and is bullied at school. So one day, on the way home, he hits himself in the head with a rock to make it look like he was attacked at school. Now he's bedridden. And while there, he recovers in his new home, disturbed only by an enormous heron who taps at the glass of his window. But things take a strange turn when he was lured on a journey out of the house to the old tower. And he's led by the heron, who it turns out can talk. The heron says if Mahito is looking for his mother, then he knows where to look. So, pursued by Kiriko, that's one of the elderly maids, he decides to enter the tower to see what's what. But from there, he finds himself in a new universe, completely unlike anything he's ever seen before. It's a place where people and ghosts, the living and the dead, coexist. There are talking animals, including giant fascistic parakeets, who march under the sway of a military dictator. So he joins forces with a brave and strong sailor, a young woman who looks somehow familiar to him. And he finds tiny floating bubble creatures known as the Wara Wara, who can cross from this world into the real other world. Can Mahito survive the dangers that await him? Can he find and rescue his mother and take her back home? Or is he trapped there forever? The Boy and the Heron is a brilliant animated story about a boy who visits a strange other world. It's surreal and psychedelic. It deals with concepts like birth and death, reincarnation, souls, spirits, ghosts, and gods, all situated against a background of authoritarian wartime Japan. It's the work of Hayao Miyazaki's Ghibli Studios, who hopefully you've seen other movies by him and the studio, because it's great. And it's partially based on his own childhood. A master animated filmmaker, Miyazaki supposedly retired about a decade ago, but he seems to have never stopped drawing, and this is the result: an amazing burst of creativity and imagination. The Boy and the Heron is a beautiful and sometimes heartbreaking movie. I recommend this one. The Three Musketeers, Part 1, D'Artagnan, directed by Martin Bourboulon. It's the 1620s in France. Charles D'Artagnan, played by François Civil, is a brash young man from Gascony, traveling on horseback to Paris. He wants to join the famed Musketeers, an elite force serving under Louis XIII, played by Louis Garrel. On the way there, he witnesses a crime involving a stagecoach, a sealed letter, and a mysterious woman in a black hooded cape. When he comes to the rescue of the besieged woman in the coach, she shoots him. He's buried alive, but that doesn't stop him. He digs himself out, he makes his way to the palace, looking worse for the wear, and manages to sneak in to present his credentials. However, though a fine fighter, he is both clumsy and arrogant, and somehow manages to offend three separate men, each of whom challenges him to a duel. He shows up at the assigned hour, ready to die. But turns out the three men all know each other. Athos, played by Vincent Cassel, Porthos, played by Pio Marmaille, and Aramis, played by Romain Duris, all widely known for their sword skills, intelligent, and lusty habits. But before the duels can begin, they're accosted by a small army of soldiers sent by Cardinal Richelieu. All for one, they say, and D'Artagnan joins them in the fight, soon proving his mettle. The three men, of course, are the Three Musketeers. So now, having been invited to join the cadets, but not the elite musketeer corps, D'Artagnan moves into an apartment near Constance, played by Lina Coudry, a personal confidant to the queen, whom he fell in love with at first sight. He ran into her a number of times, and he is madly in love with her. But trouble is brewing. The king's brother, along with Cardinal Richelieu, are plotting to send the country to war with the Protestants, meaning England. The queen, played by Vicky Creeps, is romantically involved with the Duke of Buckingham. Athos is accused of murder, but says he has no recollection of the night's events. He was drunk, as usual. And the queen, who rashly gave a diamond necklace to Buckingham as a keepsake, is ordered by the king to wear it at an upcoming ball. Uh-oh. And of course, there's the mysterious Milady, played by Eva Green, who seems to be involved in all the intrigue swirling around the palace. Can the Three Musketeers and D'Artagnan rescue the necklace, stop Athos's execution, uncover a secret plot, and prevent an upcoming war? And will D'Artagnan ever be accepted by the Three Musketeers? The Three Musketeers is, of course, the latest version of the classic swashbuckler based on the well-known novel by Alexandre Dumas. It's a Hollywood perennial. They release countless versions of this film, usually once a decade, stretching all the way back to the beginning of movies. I'm talking silent movies. And the various incarnations have featured stars like Douglas Fairbanks and Adolph Manjou, Gene Kelly and Lana Turner, Raquel Welch and Oliver Reed, Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland, to name just a few. These are just a few of the Hollywood ones. There have also been many French versions like this one. Remember, this is a French story based on a French novel. Plus Mexican, Japanese, Italian, you name it. The story has action, intrigue, adventure, romance, and comedy. So how does this version stand up? I actually found it quite enjoyable, sticking close to the original story, but with enough new or unfamiliar parts to keep you guessing. This one has less bodice ripping, more fighting. And in this one, the musketeers actually use their muskets. So there are gunfights, not just sword fights. Also, Porthos is polysexual. He'll sleep with anyone that moves. And D'Artagnan is dirtier, poorer, and scruffier than usual, but the actor does have electric appeal. There are horseback chase scenes, mass balls, overheard plot turns, and daring escapes. The usual. I love this stuff. It's shot among lush forests, cliffside beaches, crowded marketplaces, and dark palace corridors. Warning, this is part one of two films. So it finishes up, but it also leaves you with a bit of a cliffhanger. Personally, I think Richard Lester's 1973 version is the best, but this one definitely holds its own. The Boy and the Heron and the Three Musketeers, Part 1 D'Artagnan, are both playing now at select theaters across Canada. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.